Hi guys, my name is Shirinef Fleur and welcome to the Bad Betty podcast. In this show, I have lovely conversations with Desi's from all over the world. We dive into Desi pop culture, personal stories, taboos, social stigmas, and much more. It's a new year and that may call for small changes in our lives. When we want to change our behavior, it's hard to know where to start a journey because most of the times we get overwhelmed with the possibilities. So where should we start if we want to contribute to a better future? Today I'm speaking to film producer and environmentalist Pragya Kapoor. In this episode, we will talk about the benefits of living a zero-waste lifestyle, what to be aware of, and most important, where to start. So do you want to make more conscious decisions and strive to live a zero-waste lifestyle? Then keep on listening. So when did you start living a zero-waste lifestyle? And what was the reason you decided to make these changes?
I think it's been about 4 to 5 years now that I've been living this way. Mm-hmm. And for me, the main reason was my children. Because the moment I had my second son, and just actually it was after my first son, I just started feeling that where is this world going? You know, what's happening? It's nothing like how I had it when I grew up. And I had a really beautiful childhood in Sweden. And I just felt there was some sort of disconnect towards how a childhood should be and what it was. Maybe it was also because I live in Bombay. It's like a concrete jungle and there's, you know, very little infrastructure for children in particular. And whatever infrastructure is there is not really cared for. So, you know, that's kind of how it started for me, that I wanted to give back what I had to my children. Yeah. You know, the kind of experiences I had, the kind of connections I had made. And I was just not finding that anywhere in my surroundings. So that's how I kind of started. It was a very, you know, naive, just like something I was just trying out. It was not something I thought would become such a big part of my life. You know, it was just an innocent moment where I changed my toothbrush to a bamboo toothbrush. And for some reason, I posted it on Instagram. I don't know why. And it just moved from there very naturally. You know, it was a very natural progression where I then started changing other products that I was using in the house. And I was, so, you know, and I have this thing, you know, in Hindi, we call it a kira. Mm-hmm. It's like a little bug. So when I start something, you know, I have to delve into it as deep as I can and find out as much as I can. And I read a lot and, you know, I watch a lot of documentaries. So I just went deeper and deeper into it. And till a point, there was no turning back.
Yeah. So it wasn't like when you started, it was like, this is how I'm going to do it. I'm not going to change it forever. But like it grew on you, I think, right?
Yeah, it just grew. There was no plan. There was no thought behind it. It just grew and it was just very natural. Yeah. It was nothing that was forced upon me or, you know, there was no one telling me what to do and how to do. It was just a discovery. Mm-hmm. And not only a discovery of a zero waste lifestyle or a minimalist lifestyle, but also a discovery on who I am and what I like and how I like to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, beautiful. And was it in like any way difficult when you first started? Because I can imagine like you cannot be perfect or do it in a perfect way, I think, when you start.
Yeah. So. I mean, because of the way I started, there was no pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, there was absolutely no pressure because it was just for the fun of it or just to like explore, right? So it was never like do or die. It was just like, okay, what can I change now? Oh, how do I change this? Oh, this is actually bad. So is there a substitute for this? So it was more of a, you know, me exploring. So it was more of an adventure, which is why it was fun. Mm-hmm. And there were no strings attached at that point where it was like, if I don't do this, you know, my life will fall apart or anything. It was not so serious at that point. It was more fun. I never put too much pressure or I was never too harsh on myself, you know, which is, I think, the right way to go about it, because there is no right or wrong way. You got to do your best, you know, as long as you're doing your best, you're making changes, you're trying your level best. that all that matter, you're only answerable to yourself, not anyone else, right? You know your intentions and why you are doing things. So that's what matters, I guess.
Yeah. So, but you learned by doing, and like,
yes,
there you cannot really see that as mistakes or be doing it perfect, but think like by doing things for a longer period of time, then you get better at it, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think for me, if you want to have that one like horror moment where I just like really got affected, but was when I realized that polyester was plastic. Because I'm trying to change everything in my life, you know, mm-hmm. and I was like, you know, and I used to wear these nice tight yoga pants, and they used to be my like go-to wear wherever I used to go, right?
Yeah.
And then I realized there's something called microplastics, and there is you know, something called polyester, which is plastic, which releases microplastics out in the ocean. And I remember that was like doomsday for me. Like I just like felt like, oh, no matter what I do, I mean, there's nothing I can do. Like whatever I'm doing, it's never going to be enough, because it's such a bad downward spiral of the kind of life that has been created for us. You know, no matter how much I try to make things better for my family and my children, the world is not built to be sustainable. And I remember that day I felt like shit. So I guess that was like that down point where it was tough and it was difficult and it just felt pointless.
Yeah.
But then somewhere I think on the way I was like, you know what? You just got to do your best and mm-hmm. you just got to be positive about it, because the more you spread positivity, the more people are inclined to follow.
True.
The moment you make things like you ask, if it's difficult or if it's like, you know, you're asking for too much, people kind of take a step back and mm-hmm. they don't want to commit. So for me, I think the most important bit is to just celebrate anyone and everyone who's trying to do their bit, even if they're not perfect.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's also like a beautiful thing that when you experience something like that, like you don't feel like it's a lost cause, but you just go through it and then you during the process. But I can also believe that with sustainable parenting, there are also challenges that you have to overcome. How did you make this a lifestyle like a success at home?
So at home is actually, see, it's very easy when you are on your own and when you're single, because you decide everything, right? I'm still not saying it's easy, but it's easier, right? Because you have no external factors dictating what's coming into the house. It's very easy for you to say no to things. But the moment you have a family who does not understand or care as much about the environment and sustainability as much as you do, everything gets trickier. And it's not only your close family, but even, you know, your relatives or friends, you know, someone will send something over to your house in a plastic bag, mm-hmm. like small things like that. So you don't have as much control as you do when you are on your own. When it came to my husband, he initially thought that I had gone crazy. And he was like, what's wrong with this girl? And why is there so much trash in my house? Like, what is this whole obsession with segregation and, you know, saying no to plastic? Like, initially, he just thought I lost him. He was never seen me like this. And my children were quite young at this time. So I think at that time, it was not too tricky to, you know, decide and dictate what they were consuming or how they were consuming. But as they grow older, it's getting tougher, because all of a sudden, again, there are external factors. You have friends, you know, and you have some friends eating a lollipop and you also want that lollipop. Now, how do you say no to a kid? And I don't want my children to ever feel that sustainability is something they, you know, relate to with any negative thought.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want them to feel that, oh, it's a bad thing because I cannot have what I want to have, or I cannot, you know, enjoy the things that everyone else is enjoying. So I think somewhere it's about finding that balance where you give them a good foundation of what is right and what's wrong, and, you know, what's good and what's bad. So it's as simple as that, you know what, you have gone to a friend's house, that parent has given you a candy, you know, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to lose it. Right. It's okay. Because at the end of it, the moment I start you know, saying that this is something wrong or bad, they're going to not enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. So for me, I just make it clear that, okay, you know, it's fine, but let's make sure that we put this in the recycling bin. This might not even be recyclable. And I make sure that they're aware of, you know, the process of how to get rid of it, how to bin it, right? That's more important for me, that they understand that it is a system that needs to be followed, and it will not just magically disappear. Mm-hmm. So as long as they're aware of that, I feel at some point it will click in their head, and then they will decide their own journey. Like for me, my mother was a vegetarian. Mm-hmm. I've been a hardcore non-vegetarian my entire life. You know, it was like breakfast, lunch, dinner. And my mom never stopped me. She never said that, oh, you should only eat vegetarian food in my house, or, you know, this is wrong, or, you know, this is unethical. She never said any of those things. She said, this is me, this is what I believe in, and this is how I live. And the funny thing now is that, I mean, I have two siblings, and me and my brother, we are both turned vegetarian. Mm-hmm. So it kind of, you just observe and you see and you follow. Because somewhere in your head, you know what's right and wrong. So for me, it's just about putting those basics in place that they should know how this can harm. Like, for example, my older son, he wanted to have balloons on a birthday party. And I explained how that could be bad for example, animals. And he now is not someone who enjoys balloons as much, but then my younger son, he loves balloons. Mm-hmm. And he's still quite young, so he's not understood the connection and you know, the harm a balloon can cause if consumed by animals, and because it's, again, it's something which is not recyclable, it's something that is going to end up in a landfill or in, you know, some, I mean, in India there's so many animals eating out of the trash. Mm-hmm. So someone or the other might consume it, but he's too young to understand that. And then in school, they have so many balloons and he really enjoys it. So I'm not stopping him because, again, he's not gonna react well to that. True. But at one point I know that, you know, maybe when he's 4 or 5, there is a time where I can introduce this concept that, you know what, let's not use this. Mm-hmm. So it's not available in my house. You know, we don't buy balloons, but if he gets it from school, I mean, I'm going to yell at him, right? Yeah. I'm going to be like, okay, we'll make sure we dispose it properly. You know, which bin does it go in? So it's more about, you know, teaching them the right values and then hoping that the foundation is solid and then that they will build on that. So again, when I say that I live a zero waste lifestyle, it's not a perfect one. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the journey that counts for me. I'm not zero waste in the sense that we consume absolutely no trash. There is a certain amount of trash that do goes to the landfill. It's very minimal, but it's there. But the idea is to make the changes and reach as close to a zero waste lifestyle as possible. Not only for me, because again, for me, yes, I am more or less zero waste, but for my entire family. Yeah. You know, and that has to happen in harmony with everyone feeling included. You know, no one should feel like they're being, you know, dictated by anyone else on how to live their life. It has to be inclusive. Yeah. And I think that's the only way it will sustain in the long run.
Yeah. So by creating awareness and like showing people like this is the little things you do can already be like a huge change that is perfect. So that's really, I think, really a good lesson, because I sometimes have those conversations like, I am like, I eat fish now, but I don't eat meat like for some years. And I also have this conversation like, but how will I, like when I have kids, what will I do? Because I know it's not good for me. That's why I don't eat it. And I try to minimize this, but you cannot like push something on your children. So this is a really interesting view on it. So that I will take that like for my personal life. So thank you for that.
No, but it's all about that. It's all about, you know, you spread the message, but with positivity, mm-hmm. with inclusion. Don't shame people, you know, because everyone is not at the same place as you are in life. Sadly for us, mm-hmm. who grew up in, you know, the 90s, the late 2000s, I mean, the early 2000s, and even people before us in India, we were not really taught about the hazard that you know, we were causing on the environment the same mm-hmm. way that today's children are.
True.
We were never told plastic was bad. You know, we were never told that overconsumption is bad. And that's where all the companies, they thrived. Mm-hmm. Because at that time, the population was not as big. And it was just, you know, seen as something that you did. And that was a status thing as well, that, you know, the more things you have, the better status you have. So there was a gap in between somewhere where we kind of got lost and we kind of fell for all these big companies and these corporations, marketing gimmicks of what your life should be like. I mean, what is the American dream?
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, like yeah. what is it you're selling? So sadly for us, between this period, I mean, it might even be earlier, like even the 60s and the 70s, where we didn't know better, you know, and because we didn't know better, we are facing the consequences today.
Yeah.
And everyone is not in acceptance right now. More and more people are changing, they are realizing, but they still don't have the courage to change because it just feels so daunting that, oh my God, I have to go zero waste. Is this sustainable? What if it's greenwashing? What if it's this? Like, there is so much pressure and there are so many terms and so many words that I just feel like, just do your best,
yeah.
you know, as much as you can, and whatever you are realizing, whatever's coming from within, do True. That, you know?
Yeah, beautiful. And like we just talked about starting a zero waste lifestyle, like what kind of advice would you give some newbies that want to start living a better life?
So I would say do the easy things first. Like mm-hmm. what I did, I changed my toothbrush to a bamboo toothbrush. It's very simple. You can change, you make sure that you carry your own water bottle rather than buying plastic bottles. Stop using straws. You know, carry your own metal straw if you like using straws. Avoid buying any food items that are wrapped in plastic, you know, especially your fruits and vegetables. They are naturally covered with, you know, a natural cover. You don't need to wrap them into anything, you know. And I would also say that just start looking into your bin. What are you actually throwing? What goes into that bin? Is there something you can minimize? You know, is there anything you can remove from there? I would say these would be the first few steps that you can take. And then from there, you build, you know. Start reading up, start questioning. Because just know that in today's time, there's a lot of greenwashing happening where companies are constantly trying to look green because that is that's the demand right now from the public. People Yeah. want more ethical things. And now for companies to provide that in such low cost that they have currently been having, like, for example, in fast fashion, where you can buy, a pair of jeans for like 1,000-2,000 rupees. Mm-hmm. There is no way they can do that in an ethical and sustainable way. So now they are trying to figure a way on how they can look more, you know, responsible and conscious than they actually are. So I would just say that just ask your questions. Don't fall for everything. And most importantly, consume less. Ask yeah. yourself, do I actually need this? Do I actually want this? Or am mm-hmm. I just buying it just to please someone else? Or is there like something that I've seen on an ad somewhere and that's triggered somewhere in my head? Because there is a lot of times where we buy things and we never use it. And mm-hmm. it's just lying around. And you're like, why did I buy that?
True.
You know, there is a
very often
reason why that and why do you, so it's all about asking yourself. It's a very personal internal journey mm-hmm. Where you will also get to know yourself. You know, what are the things you like? What are the things you need? What are the things you don't like? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's about that process of, you know, minimizing your consumption and at the same time disposing your waste as you know, responsibly as possible. It's I think easier in Europe because there is a system in place. In India, it's slightly more complicated mm-hmm. Because the system is slightly faulty, but they are working on it. They are trying to make it better. Till then, as an Indian, you have to take slightly more responsibility where, you know, you have to call up the recycler. You have to make sure that, you know, someone comes and collect it and maybe not buy certain things because they're not sustainable. But then again, it's your journey.
Yeah.
To figure out what you need. I'm not telling you not to buy fast fashion, but don't buy 10, buy one,
mm-hmm.
you know?
So like the little changes, you don't have to like go from 0 to 100, like real quick, like just make the little changes. And
make the little changes and be happy, most importantly, because it's, I mean, if you go from 100 to zero in a week, 10 days, you're not going to be able to sustain it. Because it has to come naturally, and it's a slow progression. I mean, I feel maybe for my children, it will be easier, you know. We have kind of now stopped buying toys because my older son is making his own toys.
Oh, nice.
You know, so now I don't need to buy anything because he's constantly making new things, you know, and that need of wanting to buy something. And another thing that I do with my kids, they don't go to a toy store. They don't need, like, my older one somewhat now knows that there's something called like a toy shop because of television. But I mean, he must have gone into a toy store, he's six, maybe five times in his life. That's it. Yeah. You know, so it's about minimizing that desire of wanting something just because you see it.
Yeah.
You know, my younger one has not been to a toy store at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's about that. And now I just feel like the more you implement this into your life, even it will affect your children to a certain extent. You know, they become more, they will have more empathy. Mm-hmm. You know, they will have more a responsible approach in life. I try to connect them to nature as much as possible because I think that's where the major disconnect is happening, is that the connection between human and nature is kind of lost. You know, we are now fearing animals. We are fearing being out. We will not be able to survive on our own in a forest.
Mm-mm.
These are because we are not used to it.
Yeah.
And what happens with people is that we fear the unknown. And because it's unknown, it seems scary to live, you know, a different or a simple lifestyle because this is all we know. All we know is social media. All we know is what is being told to us through advertisement and television ads and again, all these magazines, they're telling us something, and that's what we know. We've forgotten that there is a complete other life, which, I mean, I've discovered beautifully now since I've been living in Goa, which is outdoors in nature, and it's beautiful, and you don't need or want anything else because it just centers you and it just calms you down. It slows you down, you know. It's a very beautiful process. So, I mean, yeah, I can go on. But these are some basic things that I've picked up on my way. And like I said, I've been doing this for 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. I have a long way to go. But I'm on the journey and I'm enjoying my journey, which I think is the most important thing.
Yeah, true. Because if you want it to be sustainable, you should enjoy the whole ride and not just for a month and then think, I just cannot handle this.
I can't do it. Then what's the point? You know?
Right.
Just know that this is where you're moving towards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my goal.
Yeah.
You know?
Beautiful. And I also saw that at the beach cleanup that was seen on the reality show, The Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives, that they were helping that day. I was curious also, do you often have like these conversations about this topic with friends or families that are, to say, like living a bougie lifestyle? Like, is that a conversation that you guys have? Like,
I think it does happen. It's normally not a conversation that I start because it can feel a little bit unsettling for people.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone else starts it, I'm very happy to have that conversation because I feel the outcome is better. Even if they don't change, there is a certain level of understanding somewhere in the back of their head to do that one small little thing, you know. So I don't really, again, I don't force my values or my principle down people's throat. I'm very happy to talk about it. I'm saying this is the way I am. This is the way that I am living my life. And normally what happens is that people see how happy I am having less, you know, that they want to know
more.
That, you know, how is that possible that you are so happy and you're so content? I think these conversations do happen. I remember the first time I hosted a cleanup drive. It was for my son's birthday, his first birthday. And I called all my celebrity friends because there was a beach which needed immediate attention and it was kind of being ignored. And I realized also, and we were discussing it, that the reason it's being ignored is because important people are not using the beach. It's not as important as other beaches.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, all my important friends, and I'm going to make sure they're going to be there. And, you know, we're going to make some noise about this.
Yeah.
And I called all my friends. And then the night, two, three nights before, I was at a friend's house. And, you know, one or two people were like, you know what, I don't know if we'll be able to make it. I have this meeting, I have this, that, la, la, la. And I was like, you know what, it's fine. It's not a problem, you know. Try if you can, great if you can't. And then just then another conversation started by someone else. And they're like, you know what, I already know what I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to wear this look and I'm going to have my sunglasses and my boots. And, you know, I'm going to look super cool. And then the other person started to be like, you know what, I'm going to wear this. And, you know, I thought about this. And all of a sudden, it became cool.
Mm-hmm.
From being a place where, you know, you're going to pick up trash on the beach, that also during monsoon, doesn't sound very glamorous, doesn't sound very fun, it just sounds messy.
Yeah.
To, wow, that can actually be something super cool and fashionable. And, you know, just, you know, so for whatever reason, people want to join. Now, these people who were first saying no, they were like, okay, maybe I'll try and make it, you know, I'll try and figure something out. Maybe I'll push my meeting. Or,
yeah.
You know, so the conversation changed.
Is the right intention then, or you think like if there's a lot of awareness, that's like the main goal? I don't care about the intentions of others.
I don't really care about the intentions, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I don't care as long as you're doing something or you're trying, want to try. Because again, why point fingers at people? We are all human. We are all, you know, we got to be kind to each other. There are enough problems and stresses in life. And then to say that, oh, you just want to have some attention, that's where you're coming, or you just want to do. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about inspiring people and letting their guard down for them to open up and feel welcomed in. You know, I understand you want to question, you know, corporates and companies, because they are creating a lot of pollutions and they are should be held responsible and they must be held responsible.
Mm-hmm.
You have to hold your government responsible. You have to hold anyone and everyone in a powerful position responsible, you know. And that change is happening on a people level. Things are changing. People want to be more sustainable. But again, now you can't hold a gun to the head because we don't understand the meaning of what's sustainable.
Yeah. You know? And they can learn by doing also. So,
yeah, I mean, there is so much greenwashing and so much confusion. Something might appear to be sustainable, but actually is not if you look into it. So it's so difficult and confusing in today's time that you actually were trying to do something good, but then ended up, you know, maybe it was not the best option. It was a good option, but it's not the best.
Yeah.
Now, you can't, you know, blame people or, you know, look down upon them for not knowing better. You got to be inclusive. You got to be loving. You got to be kind, because that person who's coming to that beach for whatever reason, for whatever intention, is going back with something. They're seeing something. They are learning something. You know, they will talk about it somewhere else. It might trigger another conversation. Someone else might get inspired. You don't know where it's going to go.
True.
So it's all about join. Come for whatever reason. You
be
know,
part it of might it.
Make your mama happy. Do it, you know.
For the long run, it really helps like the bigger goal. So that's a good thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you take it like very seriously. You accomplished also making India's first zero waste feature film, Chandigarh Kare Aashiqui. How was that experience?
You know, so it all for me started when we were making Kedarnath before this. Because it was a film, again, we were talking about how insensitive development and, you know, irresponsible tourism can cause, you know, some really devastating effects and how nature reacts to that, right? But at the same time, while making this film with this thought, we are spending, you know, thousands of liters of water to recreate that flood. Everything that is getting flooded, all that material is getting destroyed. You know, it's not something you can ever reuse, because it's, you know, all that water is just like, it's, I mean, it's spoiling it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, we are shooting in May, a film is normally not sustainable at all in any which way, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're having all these small drinking water bottles, you know, one time use, have a sip, someone is throwing half a bottle, someone is not having a sip and throwing it, you know, so I was just seeing all of that here. Aren't we making a film that is telling us to be more responsible towards nature and towards development?
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, look at our actions while actually making this film, you know, it's kind of, you know, I wouldn't say a hypocrisy because it's unintentional, but it is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we are trying to tell a story, we are trying to make a difference, but our own actions are actually not matching up, which is why it was extremely important for me that I do my best to make sure that we minimize our waste as much as possible during Chandigarh Karyashiki. It was really tricky because we are in the peak of COVID and all of a sudden everyone have to wear these PPA kits, they have to wear these masks. And now, again, that's plastic, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so much more waste being generated now. I was almost at a point because it was, you know, just before the first lockdown got over, I was like, I'm not even sure if this is the film we can do this on. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, are we going to fight COVID, or I'm going to fight, you know, waste? What are we going to fight? It just felt a little overwhelming at that time.
Mm-hmm.
But last minute, I was like, you know what? I cannot go into this knowing that this is the amount of waste I'm going to generate and I did nothing about it. So let's at least try, you know. Mm-hmm. And I called up my friend Divya. I've been talking to her in the past as well after Kedarnath that, you know what, I want to try to make a film set as sustainable as possible. And she was very kicked on it. At that time, she had only been doing festivals and, you know, private events. So this was a first for her as well. But it was just amazing. Her team came on board. And initially, everyone was a little confused that what's happening, you know, that all of a sudden, why is there not just one dustbin? Why are there three different dustbins? Mm-hmm. And people really didn't care much about it. Initially, they were like, okay, Pragya is saying to do it, so we are doing it, right? Mm-hmm. But then the moment they started seeing the effects of what they were doing, you know, where they could see that all these PPE kits were now made to eco bricks. We had lamps being made. We had clocks being made. There were these, women entrepreneurs who were actually turning our waste into value. And we had this huge group on WhatsApp where we would, you know, post these pictures. And all of a sudden people like, oh, my God, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when I started to see the change in behavior where people automatically now know that they were telling each other, no, you're not supposed to throw it there, throw it in that one. Mm-hmm. They were helping each other, they were guiding each other, and they got so engaged in it themselves, you know, which is what the victory was for me more than anything else. Because for me, this film was still high in waste because of the PPE kits and because of COVID, there were a lot of things like, it was not a plastic waste, a free set, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just that we took care of the waste that we generated. It was either, you know, repurposed, it was reduced as much as possible, but not to the extent I would like it to. Everything that could be reused is being reused. Everything that could be rented was rented. Everything that we could sell, we are selling. Certain things we even gave back after buying it that, you know what,
yeah,
this is not a sustainable material. For example, in the climax sequence of Chandigarh Karyashiki, there is this confetti that has come up, mm-hmm. you know, when he's won the match. And there was this whole discussion where I said, use paper, but, you know, they wanted to use something shiny and mm-hmm. that is obviously plastic. So I said, okay, the only reason I will allow you to do that is if you guarantee that every single piece of that is being given back to where it came from. We actually bought it from the vendor, we gave it back to him so he could resell it to someone else whenever. So it's not the best solution, but it was a compromise that, mm-hmm. you know what, I can't change the creative vision to a certain extent, you know. So I had to compromise saying that, you know what, as long as you're not sending it to the landfill and it's being reused, mm-hmm. let's go for it, you know.
Yeah.
I was trying to be quite adamant that, you know, use paper, we'll figure out a way of, you know, composting it or recycling it, but I got voted down at that one. But we did what we could best out of that situation that, you know what, okay, we cannot, avoid this one. Let's mm-hmm. figure out. So it's all about the solution. It's all about problem solving.
Yeah.
And even our sets, we made sure that all the material from our sets that, you know, were made, that it was either, sold or it was remade into something else, mm-hmm. or it was given back. You know, a lot of stuff was rented this time.
Yeah.
Just avoid anything new being, you know, made and consumed. So these were the kind of ways that we worked around it. Hopefully in the next film, we'll do even better. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, again, the goal. It's not about saying that, oh, it's not 100% zero waste film. No, it's an attempt. And it's about talking. Like right now, I know that, you know, I've given the company scraps number to 3-4 production houses. And I know 2-3 production houses already started, you know, their shoots with waste segregation happening. So it's all about inspiring. It's all about that first step. I know for a fact that they're shooting right now with YRF, and that film is now, you know, they are trying their level best to minimize their waste. Yeah. Same thing, they're doing something with Netflix. So it's all about the fact that there is change, you know.
I think it's as beautiful, like how you said it, that like the whole team was like kind of part of it. And it's also nice to hear that you cannot do it perfectly, but do your best, because I think that that's always with a new lifestyle or like changes you want to make in your life. If you cannot do it perfectly, you feel like you're failing, and that's not the case.
Because the world is not built sustainably currently. Whatever happened during the Industrial Revolution and all the you know, the PR and the marketing that people were subjected to in that time, I mean, we still had to fly to Chandigarh. We still had cars. We still had trucks. These are all, you know, adding up to the carbon footprint of the film. It's still, you know, there is so much that you don't have control on currently. True. Because the world is not built that way.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you shouldn't try.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the effort should be applauded more than the outcome and the goal of it, right? It's about the journey and the fact that I know for a fact that there are 3-4 other films doing this with Divya right now. That's rewarding to me. You know, that was my goal. It was not about being like, oh, we are the first film, or we are the best, or we are the great. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't matter. That's out the window. What matters is that there are actually other production houses who've taken this on, which is what is most exciting for me.
That was kind of the goal also, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. That was the whole intention and the idea, that you want to include more people to do the same.
And what advice would you have given your younger self?
Don't be too hard on yourself, because I think I took myself very seriously as a youngster, as a teenager. I worked very hard. I was very ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think now I've realized that you got to live a little.
Mm-hmm. That's really important also. And like, we have a couple more questions before we have to end this interview. But what are some things that a lot of people don't know about you?
Something that people don't know about me.
I know there's a reason behind that, but
it's not much people don't know about me, and there's nothing that I'm you know, not comfortable sharing. Maybe that I didn't go to college. I think that's something that people might not know about me, and maybe that I didn't know how to speak proper English until I moved to India, because again, Sweden at that time was not, and I was in a very small town in Sweden where you didn't speak much English.
Yeah.
So maybe these are two things that people don't know about me.
So if you want to work on your English, go to India.
Yeah,
and get better at it.
The husband who keeps telling you that your English is terrible, so you have no choice but to make better.
That's also a way of learning it. Are there any other projects that we can expect this upcoming year? And can you tell us more about it, if so?
So something that is coming up right now, I'm working in Guy in the Sky. We are working on a few web shows and movies that I hope should start by end of the year. We'll put something on floor. I'm trying to see if we can even make a film which talks more about the environment and the kind of impact we have on the environment, but in a very commercial way. So I hope that works out. That's something I'm quite excited about. With Ek Saath, we are just turning 2 tomorrow.
Congrats.
We're just turning 2. We've been working really hard to, you know, try and making a difference. We are just working on, you know, making more waste collection centers in India, whether it's in Himachal Pradesh or other states. We are trying to expand as much as we can. And of course, we just started a volunteer program, so we want a lot of people to join in and, you know, join us for our cleanup drives and for our, you know, tree plantations. And I'm hoping also to get a conversation started with the local authorities in Bombay to just see how we can make, you know, changes into the structure of how waste management works in Bombay City.
So a lot of amazing projects coming up this year. Nice.
Yes, we are trying our best.
Yeah. And before we end this interview, what is your personal mantra you live by?
So as a kid, I remember there was this mantra from the Gita, karm kar, phal ki chinta mat kar. I don't know if I'm saying it correctly. It might be a slightly longer, but the basics is that just do your work and don't worry about the success of it or the outcome of it. Mm-hmm. Just do your work, do your karma.
Yeah.
So that's what I try to do. I try not to look too far into the future of seeing what will happen or will I, you know, it's basically I don't know if there is a equivalent in English, but it's basically mm-hmm. that just focus on your work, do your best, do it passionately with a lot of love, and don't worry about the outcome of it.
Yeah.
You know, that will be taken care of. It will happen at one point. You just focus on your job, you know.
Yeah.
So I was told that those 2-3 lines when I was very young. I think I was when 4 or 5 years old, and it's stuck by me for life. So I guess that's my life mantra.
Yeah, love it. Thank you so much for this lovely conversation and also for the wise lessons, because I always have a feeling like I have to do it perfect or I just cannot do it. And I think by having this conversation, I've also learned from just the little things, and that's already a lot. So thank you so much.
Yes, it is. As long as you're doing your best, be kind to yourself, because there are not enough people out there who is, you know, you have to be kind to yourself, and only then will you be able to spread kindness. We are currently so, you know, consumed by how to be perfect and how to be liked that mm-hmm. we forget to like ourselves and be kind to ourselves. So just focus on that. Everything else will fall in place, hopefully.